Welcome to Rebel Health Radio, bringing the best in alternative and integrative medicine to your ears.
Oh, it's Patricia Warby, Alchemy Therapies, and my emotional audit, and all the other things that I do, my books, my podcast, and here you are on my YouTube channel. And today I want to talk about how vulnerability is the key to creativity. Now, this idea is not mine. It's really from the work of Brené Brown, sort of famous researcher, author in the US, who talks a lot about shame and vulnerability. I've covered a bit on her work before. I'm not going to go over her work today. I'm going to talk about how creativity and vulnerability play out in my life. And I'm going to give you a sort of heads up on what's happening with me and why being even on YouTube is very vulnerable making. First thing I guess I want to update you with is that my book, Microbiome Modification, which is a sort of proper reprint of a self-published book. This is published by Mercury, who are a publisher linked to De Gruyter's, who are an academic publisher based in Boston. It's all very exciting, you know, their name on the bottom. I had little control over, I chose the front picture, but other than that, the layout of how they've described me on the back and table of contents, et cetera, which is really tiny and difficult to read, but there you go. But the content is mine. That arrived yesterday in a massive sack from the US Customs Department. I'm talking meter sack, massive, and there were five books in there, and I wasn't expecting it. So it was a real shock. It was a surprise. So that's now out. I'm a published author. How amazing is that? And you should think, well, she should be, you know, pleased with herself. But it's really scary because, you know, up to now I've self-published and I've allowed myself to think, well, it doesn't matter if nobody buys them. They're out there. You know, now I'm going to be presumably in a catalogue. I'll be being promoted and so on and so forth. So it's a really massive leap. And I kind of wanted to, it made me think what I want to discuss today is how people who stick their neck out and want to say something important have to make that journey with vulnerability. You know, you have to acknowledge that you're going to be potentially attacked. You're certainly going to be visible, and how other people have dealt with this. And I did promise you a review of the book by the Prince of Wales, as he was then, the King now, King Charles, the book Harmony, which I picked up secondhand, and is absolutely beautifully, lavishly illustrated. It covers so many different things: environment, architecture, finance, patterns in nature, just so much, really. His entire vision, which he wrote, it's quite a while ago. He wrote it in, I think it was 2009. It might have been a little later than that. Let's see, 2010. He wrote it with two people, Tony Juniper and Ian Skelly. And I, you know, when somebody else's name appears underneath, usually it's because either it's been ghostwritten, which could have been the case here, that he didn't actually write it, but he maybe gave the interview that was then transcribed and rewritten. I suspect that might be the case. I don't know. I don't suppose he's watching, so to tell me. I think it's a brilliant, utterly brilliant book in its scope. It's a shame, and obviously now it's a little old, and there are things that he's talking about here, incredibly prescient. You know, the destruction of the environment, how the society is kind of breaking down in some ways, you know, with toxic overload and social media and so on. It's pretty much come to pass. And now, of course, he's in the situation of struggling against, well, cancer, so having a cancer diagnosis. So it is a book I'd recommend if you do find it. I'm sure it's available. It must be. It's a really beautiful book, and it covers such a broad canvas, as I said. But I wondered then, does co-publishing with other people rather than just your own name, does that make you less vulnerable? And then in popped yesterday, the same day as my book arrived, Gabor Mate's new opus is just out in paperback, The Myth of Normal. I've had my eye on this for a few weeks. No, let's be fair, about a year, because I knew it was coming out in paperback. Up to now, it's only been in hardback, but this is the paperback version. I don't know if you can see, possibly you can, how tiny the type is. So this is a very dense book. It's fully referenced, it's fully researched, and yeah, nearly 500 and something pages. So that's going to take me a while to get through. I've read many of Gabor's books. I've read When the Body Says No, which was just a fundamental shift for me to understand that the body could read out what the mind could not, and that it creates chronic disease. I mean, it was a groundbreaking book. I like to think my book was a groundbreaking book, but his certainly wasn't. It was read by a lot more people than mine was. So, but I noticed also it's co-written with Daniel, his son, Daniel Mate. And in the introduction, he actually talks about that. And he says, you know, when people have with another name underneath, that usually means it's ghostwritten. But in this case, it isn't. And that they both collaborated. And sometimes they wrote entire chapters each and then sort of checked them over with the other person. Sometimes it was more of a collaborative effort, all told, but it was very much a joint enterprise. And I thought that, you know, had I have had someone to write with, would I have felt less vulnerable writing the books that I have? Because I've now written seven. I've got the eighth one on the go now, which I've mentioned. I'm struggling to find the title, but at the moment it's Emotional Alchemy, but it may change yet again. That this whole act of creation is so difficult when you have a background of believing yourself unworthy. And I know Gabor talks about this. He talks about his history and how when he was young, well, he grew up in Warsaw at the height of the Nazi occupation, and he was given away by his mother for a very short period, for 6 weeks, because it simply wasn't safe for him to stay with her. And he discovered this many years later, and it kind of explained his reactions to things. And he explains very clearly right in chapter one, actually, I think it was the introduction, about how the failure of his wife to pick him up from the airport one time after he'd had a very successful international tour caused this inner reaction in him that he couldn't meet her eye gaze. He couldn't respond to her apart from with grunts. You know, he was just so upset that she had failed to meet him at the airport. And then after a while, after a day, he reckons 24 hours of this behavior on his part, which was completely unconscious, of course, he just felt somehow very aggrieved by it. She called him out on it and she said, "Oh, enough already." And it kind of shattered him out of his sense of grievance. And he kind of realized that even as a best-selling author and a person who talks about trauma and all the things he knows as a multidisciplinary doctor, you know, in three different board certifications, he can still react in ways that are unscripted, unconscious, and ultimately very destructive. And so, you know, all of us are vulnerable because trauma affects all of us, particularly relational or complex trauma, because these are the things that happen to all children when you're growing up, particularly if you're highly sensitive. And for me, the message in my childhood was don't reach too much, stay safe, because the world out there is dangerous. You know, you can fall foul of all sorts of calamities like financial ruin, or you can be, you know, made homeless or whatever, because all of those things had happened in my family at various stages, not just to my parents, but grandparents. And I know my maternal grandmother, for instance, really struggled to put a roof over her head and support my mother and her twin sister and brother. So I know that pattern is embedded in me, and therefore making the leap, as I have done, to write a book, not just one, but seven, and publish them. And particularly now I have a published book by a publisher, not just myself. makes me feel a little uncomfortable, even as I am filled with, well, a certain amount of pride for what I've done. It took a long time, and gratitude that I could actually do that and learn how to do that, because it doesn't necessarily sit with my belief system, which is to stay small. Now, Marianne Williamson talked a lot about this in her famous quote about it is not our weakness that frightens us, it's our strength. You know, it's how good we could be if we only allowed ourselves to shine. I mean, that's not the exact quote, I'm paraphrasing, but it's about recognizing that each of us has a meaning and a purpose that we may not be fully in tune with, because we've got these messages from our childhood that have hidden them from us. And instead, we've replaced it with what we regard as our personality, which is in fact a construct of what happened to us and the meaning we made of that, that is itself an adaptation to the childhood wounds we've experienced. We've all experienced some. So I might say to myself, which I often did, there's nothing I can't do, all right? That was my construct, right? Even as I was told to stay small and keep safe, my compensation in my logical brain was saying, you know, there's nothing you can't do. You just have to force yourself. You just have to push. You just have to achieve. And so I did. I set on a path to achieving this, this, and this. I had multiple degrees, et cetera, et cetera. And now multiple books, you know. But does that make me happy? Not really. Not really, if it doesn't change my inner sense of self. And so you find people struggling against this vulnerability that's unconscious and inside them from past experience that they've internalized, overcompensating in their daily lives with this A-type pushing pattern, you know, of overachieving. And it's very contradictory. And the results that we often get are that we're not satisfied by our lives. We're not actually feeling what we should be feeling, which is contentment, which is a feeling of peace in our lives. That's what all of us are wanting, really, is just to feel at peace with ourselves. And that may therefore be elusive, even if we've achieved loads of external things, because happiness, contentment, they're not the same, by the way. Happiness tends to be more conditional. It's elusive because it hasn't changed the essential pattern of who we truly are and what we actually have come to believe about ourselves. And that comes down to this feeling of self-worth, as I've said. So if you don't feel worthy of success, you will actually sabotage yourself in very many ways. You will not turn up to things that you know would be good for you. You might not apply for the jobs that you think are beyond you. You might do the job but subtly make mistakes because you don't feel worthy of doing any better. In your personal life, you may pick people that remind you of past experiences. It's all unconscious. You'll feel familiar and comfortable with people who are ultimately quite destructive for you. So there are multiple ways in which this will sabotage your ability to live life well in the way that you truly desire. And you might start to notice that these patterns keep recurring and wonder why. So we're all vulnerable. We all have past experiences that we haven't metabolized, that we haven't dealt with, that are scripting responses in the here and now. And in order to circumvent them, we can't push through them whilst ignoring them. We have to actually come to terms with our own vulnerabilities and our own internalized belief systems and seek to transcend them in some way by allowing them to be witnessed. And so gradually, through whether you work with someone else or you work on your own, what you're trying to do is not squash your vulnerability, but to engage with it and understand where it came from. And I think that really is the birthplace of creativity. It's where new ideas can come into formation because you are challenging the scripts, the habitual responses that you learned. nothing new comes out of running the same old program. And so if you want to explore a new response, you have to be challenged. Now, that can be through extending yourself in new ways. It can be working one-to-one in therapy. It can be taking up a new job or a new country of residence. Whatever ways that you choose to challenge yourself, it's helpful if you can notice the reactions in your body and be curious about them rather than being afraid of them or reacting against them. So, folks, if any of this sounds interesting to you, I'd really like to invite you to come and join me in the community sessions, which I run monthly. Maybe have a look at my book, The Scar That Won't Heal. Look out for microbiome modification as well. I didn't choose that title. As a technical book, you know, how you can change your inner self. And please, whatever you do, don't give up. Be creative. Be curious. Take care. Bye for now.
Hey, hope you enjoyed listening to Rebel Health Radio. Do subscribe and look forward to catching you soon.